Have you ever been bleeped on your show or elsewhere?
I have not been bleeped. As much as I deserve it, I have yet to be bleeped.
Stop the hammering out there. Who's got a hammer? Where is it? Where's the hammer? It sucks to be out here with this out of control.
Ah, yes. MSDNC, their hero, Lawrence O'Donnell. He's not a mere liberal. He's a socialist. He's proud of it. He'll tell you all about it. But does he have a mind melt with the people in North Korea like Mika? Mika has a mind melt with the people in North Korea, which is probably better than just being a socialist all by itself like Lawrence O'Donnell, NBC News anchor. Pay no attention to any of that. Has he ever been bleeped? They lie about the things that they lie about. I guess that's natural, though, isn't it? Once you're a liar, it's, you know, your mother's supposed to teach you this when you're a small child. Before you can ride a bike without training wheels, it's supposed to be part of the program. However, as they say in certain regions, apparently not everyone is taught those valuable and important lessons in early childhood that help mold who we are throughout our lifetimes. Well, happy Friday to you and welcome. It's another beautiful day in America, and the fight has been engaged. I think that's the most optimistic thing we can say. We got the crazy Democrats with their Supreme Court packing plan, and it just shows what banana republic, third world lunatic leftists they are, as though we needed any more affirmation of that. We do not. And we'll get into that. We'll get into that today. Good stuff. We got more mayhem, of course, in Minneapolis and other locations around the country as well. You know, in Portland, Oregon, they did the old try to burn all the police alive inside the police station again. It's not news. That doesn't qualify as news. The woman with the they like to call it an accelerant. Usually it's gasoline or something tantamount to gasoline. And then, you know, you set it on fire by the doorways of the police station, hoping to burn everybody to death like a Hollywood movie. And that really doesn't amount to much when it comes to news and journalism in America. But we may get into some of that. And we've got lots more mayhem, of course, because, you know, an individual was shot and killed by the police. I'm not talking about the white kid in outside of Washington, D.C., 16-year-old with the airsoft gun, because that's still not news. Not news at all, because the news media is racist, is the short version of that. But setting that aside just for the moment, we are, of course, at 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. Video released yesterday in Chicago of a 13-year-old youth, Adam Toledo, who was shot and killed by a Chicago police officer. He had apparently just dropped a firearm as he was turning toward the police officer. 13-year-old who was out in a back alley in Chicago at 2:30 a.m. with a 21-year-old gunman who fired 7 or 8 shots at the police, and there was a great deal of melee chaos going on. And where was Adam Toledo's mom, one might ask? Where was his dad? Where was the nuclear family? You know, Black Lives Matter as opposed to the nuclear family. The idea that you'd have a mother, a father, and children, that's so play school, isn't it? Got to get rid of that. And so it is, and then the mayor in the city of Chicago, we failed Adam. Well, you know, Adam's parents failed Adam, and a lot of people failed Adam, I think, but we're always looking in the wrong places for the explanations. This is, I think there's a song about that somewhere. There was a... in the darkness last night or early this morning in Indianapolis, Indiana, of all places, a massacre at a FedEx facility, Federal Express facility. 8 people murdered and several more wounded. Gunman apparently killed himself, which speeds things up. But first, 8 people were murdered. And we don't have a lot of detail. The Democrats are hoping that they will be able, and I'm quite certain that they will, that they'll be able to politicize this killing, either based on the race of the gunman, which is their favorite, or the type of firearm. And if they're lucky, ding, 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 it could be a red-letter day for them. They could get both. It could be the firearm if it's an AR-15-style rifle. They couldn't pick one out of a lineup, but never mind that. And if the gunman The murderer is Caucasian. Well, then that's even better. That's good for bonus points. Ding, 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 ding. They love that stuff, those Democrats. You know, it was Rahm Emanuel who said, never let a good crisis go to waste. And they love seizing on crises. They most certainly do. And they're, you know, the party of the Confederacy and Jim Crow and racism and the soft bigotry of low expectations. And they can't wait to seize on what they view as opportunities to further racially polarize the country that they've been working so diligently to racially polarize, really, for generations. It's not. Now, they've dialed it up to crazy in recent years, but then getting more effective at it because of their complete information domination, which is important when you're an invading army. So we've got a few things to get to there. Out of Chicago, out of here, we got Russia, Russia, Russia as a category. It's kind of like Marcia, 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 but it's different. The Democrats and this crazy thing, President Trump, I think, didn't he get four Pinocchios last year for saying the news media went crazy with this leaked intelligence? You know, remember when President Trump was president, the intelligence community was constantly leaking things to the New York Times and the Washington Post that were detrimental to the president of the United States and to the United States of America. That's where the deep state comes in, because there are lefties in the machine, and they illegally abuse their power to sabotage the president because they didn't vote for him, and the United States of America because they're leftists. And turns out there are a whole lot of them. Joe McCarthy was right long ago. Whole lot of them inside the permanent bureaucracy, which we like to call on occasion the deep state. You know, that's a variety of ways to define the deep state, but corrupt career government officials who are undermining our own government. That is perfectly and for political purposes. And are never found out. Isn't that amazing? The FBI never finds any of them. There are never any consequences for any of this. They say it's illegal, but then it turns out, as long as you're skewering the correct political party, everything's okay in Washington. It's a very corrupt city, Washington, D.C. It's an extremely corrupt city. And all the leaks out of the... Well, they leaked this thing that Russia was paying the Taliban to target and kill American troops in Afghanistan. And yesterday, the headline came out, U.S. Intel walks back claim Russians put bounties on American troops. Isn't that fascinating? So it was all a lie. But when President Trump said it wasn't true, the news media attacked him and smeared him. And Trump got four Pinocchios for saying that the Russian bounty story was not true. And now we learn yesterday that the Russian bounty story was not true. And what makes it even better is that yesterday afternoon, the news media and the Democrats, but I repeat myself, came out with yet another story about the Russian bounties, as though we didn't learn yesterday that it wasn't true. It's a remarkable country we've got here. It really is great stuff. So the Democrats, we're going to have to wait a little while to see how the Democrats can seize on the opportunity of the mass murder in Indianapolis, which is, I promise you, the way that they see it, an extraordinary, extraordinary time we live in. Also, the Washington Post is on a jihad, like ISIS is on a jihad. The Washington Post is on a jihad against none other than Tucker Carlson. They're engorged over Tucker Carlson. And I don't know how many pieces I wrote. It's the kind of almost the whole front page of the style section today, an attack piece on Tucker Carlson. And I'm guessing it's probably the 20th hit piece that they've done on Tucker Carlson lately. This one is a nice kind of, not a photograph, but a generated picture, almost like it's a ripoff of the way Wall Street Journal does the little thumbnail pictures of people. Of Tucker Carlson, it's a nice likeness. And the headline is in giant. It's a huge headline, giant story, almost the whole front page of the style section. The bully pundit. See, it's a little clever play on words, the bully pulpit. He's the bully pundit. And then they assail him and they attack him and they smear him and slander him and slime him, because that's what they do. It's Jeffrey Barr. He's a Democrat typist from the Steno pool down at the DNC. And they're very upset because they say that he attacks journalists. And they have no sense of irony. You know how I always say that they have no sense of irony. They don't understand the meaning of the word irony. And I say that because it's abundantly true, and they prove it several times a week at least. Fox News host Tucker Carlson often launches attacks on journalists, is the sub-headline, as they launch an attack on a journalist. In fact, their political cartoon on the editorial page today is also an attack on Tucker Carlson, and they have the giant word hate, and it's like a torch. It's like a torch, like the Klan created by the Democrat Party used to carry. They also have a front page hit piece on Congressman Matt Gaetz, and I'm still waiting for their series of hit pieces on Eric Swalwell's years-long sexual affair with a Chinese intelligence agent named Fang Fang. That was one of his primary fundraisers and bundlers during his entire political career, from the time he was on the city council in a small town in California to becoming the chairman of a powerful and national security committee in the House of Representatives. And then we find out that he had a long-term affair, sexual and business and financial relationship with a Chinese spy who had cultivated him from his earliest years in politics. And he's fine. He's got his committee positions and the news media. The Washington Post fluffs him every chance they get. Extraordinary stuff. I got to tell you, I've got so many great stories today. I'm gonna go to this Tucker Carlson hit piece, this smear piece in the Washington Post, and just point out a couple of things that the people at the Post are too dishonest to acknowledge, because they're just spectacularly corrupt. And I think also their brains are not very large. Quite small in most cases, not as small as Fredo Cuomo, for example, but they'll get to that. And the Chicago story, a terrible and a tragic story that goes to parenting. You see, parenting is the problem in Chicago when it comes to 13-year-old Adam Toledo. The problem is no nuclear family, which the Democrats have been opposing, you know, for generations now. A woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle, just scratching the surface. And then there's this extraordinary story that I want to share with you as well. Also on the front page of the Washington Post. I should also point out that a murdered U.S. Capitol Police officer's funeral was yesterday. Billy Evans at his hometown, and Fox News is still saying that somebody crashed their car into a barrier. It's amazing. But the front page lead story of the Washington Post: IG, the Inspector General, faults Capitol Police training. You know, this is going to lead to more funding, you see, and a larger police force. Says overhaul needed after January 6th. This January, you know, it's as though there weren't riots last night and the night before and the night before that and the night before that. Five nights of riots just over this one thing with the guy with the gun charge, getting the woman in the chokehold and pressing the gun to her head and threatening to murder her over $820 in rent money. The warrant out for his arrest, the no-show at his court date, the hero of the story. I'm describing the hero of the story here. And then, of course, the villain of the story is that terrible, awful police officer. You know how these things work, don't you? And she's been charged with second-degree manslaughter. So we've got lots of good stuff. But here's a story that I want to share with you, and I'm looking forward to sharing this with you, because it's on the front page of the Washington Post, and they're writing glowingly, and that's the big, huge color picture on the front page, and here's the headline. What do communities do when the police retreat? What do communities do when the police retreat? Well, I'm going to share that story with you, because this is the America that the Democrats are creating. And it's sounding more and more like Uzbekistan or Afghanistan or Beepholistan. Apparently there's an emerging kind of community Taliban movement. And the Washington Post, with no-go zones, you know, police-free no-go zones, where women are packing Glocks and buying big dogs and patrolling their neighborhoods because used to be Mary Tyler Moore throwing her beret in the air. This is what the Democrats have done to a once nice city. Used to be known for Scandinavian people. Now it's known for mental illness and gang violence and political violence. Rampant, it's extraordinary. And for irrational illogical people. What happened to this nice state of Minnesota? So what do communities do when the police retreat, when the left has made them retreat? I want to get into that because it's very revealing in a lot of ways. We are at 888-630-9625.
There's only one Chris Plant, The Chris Plant Show.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
There is kind of a kooky small town story. Didn't see this one coming out of Minneapolis, Minnesota as well. Because it's, you know, crazy small world sometimes, isn't it? Sure it is, you bet. It turns out that, you know, George Floyd was, Derek Chauvin is on trial right now, charged with murdering George Floyd. George Floyd of the Minneapolis and the counterfeit bill and the this and the that. And George Floyd's girlfriend was Dante Wright's teacher. I'm sorry, what? What's that? This was, so the nexus of the problem is apparently this teacher, and this is, she's in a bad place, I think. Courtney Ross is the name of the teacher or teaching assistant, and this is a bizarre little twist that means absolutely nothing, I think, except, you know, small town, crazy small world. A relative of Dante Wright, 20-year-old black man fatally shot by police in Minnesota, while assaulting police, fleeing a warrant for gun for holding a woman hostage and robbing her, revealed a tragic connection between her family and George Floyd. That's right. Dante Wright's aunt, Naisha Wright, said Tuesday during an emotional press conference that Floyd, George Floyd's former girlfriend, once taught her nephew at a high school in Minneapolis. Isn't that crazy? That's just nuts. I wear this shirt, and the craziest things find out today that my family has a connection to this man, to his family. His girlfriend was the teacher for my nephew, Naisha Wright said while pointing to her T-shirt. Oh, lots of T-shirts made up in these situations. And with Floyd's picture and the word justice across the bottom. Justice is not really, doesn't mean that, but that's right. My nephew was a lovable young man, she said. My nephew's blood is on your hands. I've never seen my brother hurt like this before. Never, non sequitur there, but that is just a kind of a bizarre little connection. And the former girlfriend, George Floyd's former girlfriend, Courtney Ross, confirmed her connection to Wright. In a Tuesday interview with the Washington Post. See, they're getting to the bottom of that, but they haven't looked into Eric Swalwell and his sexual relationship long-term with a Chinese communist spy named Fang Fang. That's of no interest to the Washington Post. But racial polarization is. Courtney Ross described Wright as a silly boy, as goofy as can be, needed a lot of love. Yeah. That's probably true.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next question, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Yeah, the bully pundit, the Washington Post, is really, truly engorged over Tucker Carlson. They despise, they hate, and the attack on him is so flimsy and thin, it's pathetic. It's sad. They spend their lives destroying people at the Washington Post. Good people, people better than themselves. And if someone should just wag a little finger at him and say, hey, you've got a crazy story over here that doesn't make any sense, then they plots, they soil themselves, they drop to the ground, they drop and roll, something like that. So the front page of the Washington Post has a big color photograph of two women at night walking through what looks like a murky area in an urban center in America, winter time, and one of them has a big black dog on a short leash, and they look like they're afraid. They look very afraid. And it's Margarita Ortega, and excuse me, Ortega. That's funny. I've got an aunt named Margarita Ortega, but it's Margarita Ortega, and Molly Longtine, and with their dog Blue, BLU. They don't know how to spell. It's a failing of the public education system. And they're in a neighborhood called Little Earth in Minneapolis. It's called Little Earth. That's what the neighborhood is called. And it's a neighborhood in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And they're members of the Little Earth Protectors. Little Earth Protectors. That's a group that was formed, the Washington Post types, when a police precinct was abandoned during rioting after George Floyd's killing in May. Now, it was abandoned because it was burned to the ground. You may remember it was the third precinct, and the Democrat mayor ordered the police to abandon the precinct so that the left-wing mob could burn it, and that's what happened. And so the police precinct, remember, they had to go in. It was like assault on, what was it, Precinct 13, whatever that movie was. And it was like a nightmare motion picture from Hollywood. The police had to go in and try to salvage files and things while the mob was attacking, like Night of the Living Dead. And it was all Democrats, all violent mob of criminal Democrats. You know, that's what they do for a living, I guess, and collect welfare. So the headline is, what do communities do when the police retreat? Now, why would the police retreat? The police would retreat because their political leaders, all Democrats in Minneapolis, not only do they not support the police, they target the police for destruction, and they don't back the police when, you know, killers are attacking the police. And, oh, we got an update on that, the funny guy that on CNN, Tiger, with the can of soup for his family, wink at the camera, which is there to throw at the heads of police officers to injure them in the hope that they won't go home to their families that night, because that's the Democrat Party today. So Robert Klemko, typists from the DNC Steno pool, typed up this story for the party, and they put it on the front page of the Washington Post. It's Minneapolis is the dateline. That doesn't mean that Robert Klemko went there, because their datelines are very often fake, and they've made that public, that, well, we don't have to go there just to put the dateline there. The alert flashed across every cell phone in the city when the first curfew began after George Floyd's killing. A text in all caps was accompanied by a deep, repeating buzz. When the phones rumbled, Margarita Ortega was helping neighbors in the South Minneapolis community of Little Earth. It's called Little Earth. A lot of Native Americans. Move roadblocks. They moved roadblocks. And they'd borrowed from construction sites. Now, wait a minute. Why were there already roadblocks, you say, across the cell phone? When the city first curfew began, George, there were already the first curfew, and there are already roadblocks in the neighborhood. And they started to move roadblocks. I think that's illegal. They borrowed from construction sites. That's stealing. Positioned them in the intersection surrounding the neighborhood. She shuddered, reminded of a 2013 movie depicting an American dystopia, which they're bringing about in real time, in which all violence, including murder, was made legal for one night each year. It was just like the purge, she said. She said, it's just like the purge, said Ortega, 31. I remember saying, I hope people don't take that sound as a reason to start purging. Why would they play that sound on today of all days? That night last year, as protests broke out across the city, they don't call them riots because they're crooks and they don't use the English language very well, and they're dishonest people. as protests broke out. By protests, they mean arson and looting and assaults on people. Were people killed in Minneapolis during the riots or just elsewhere across the country? And no police were in Ortega's neighborhood. That's because they were busy with the mobs in different neighborhoods. And you guys reduced the number of police on the street. And so Little Earth Protectors Group was born. The community protection force of more than 80 people was shot at by looters, but no one was hurt. And every building in the government subsidized. I love this government subsidized thing. And the government subsidized predominantly Native American community. You know, welfare state is not a good state to live in. More than 1,000 residents remained untouched. Now, this is a pretty amazing story for a number of reasons. And they talk about how the community people, because the police are overstretched, and they call the police and they say, well, we call 911 and we're afraid that the police may not come. The Washington Post doesn't explain whether they do come or not. I've always felt we've really never needed the police, said Ortega. Those first nights confirmed that for me. Well, wait a minute. They confirmed that for you? How does that make any sense? So there's violence and there's craziness and the police aren't coming. That's, you know, because the rioting wasn't in your neighborhood. The Protectors are one of several neighborhood public safety groups that emerged here in the days and weeks after the city was rocked by protests, meaning riots, that followed Floyd's death. In police custody on May 25th. Many of the groups continued operating throughout the summer and early fall, and they're ramping up again as Minneapolis braces for the end of former police officer Derek Chauvin's trial on charges of murder and manslaughter in Floyd's death. And beyond that, the inevitable warmer weather spike in crime. Now, listen to this. This is like a third world country. This is like a country that doesn't have a civil society. And this is what the left does in every country where they gain control. There's a tipping point. It's like radical Islam. When radical Islamists achieve, like, you know, 30% or 40% dominance, then there's a tipping point. And when the left achieves a certain cultural dominance, then the wheels come off of society. You've seen it all over the world for the last century. If you haven't noticed that, buy a book. Almost any book will do. Their success may inspire other American communities. They're actually promoting this, the Washington Post, suggesting that you should live in a police-free society where you take matters into your own hands and form gangs in your neighborhood, like the gangs of New York, you know, of the more than a century ago. Their successes, they describe them as successes, may inspire, that's a positive word, other American communities, that's a positive word, that are seeking alternatives to traditional policing. See this? This is the gangs of New York. This is, honestly, this is from a century ago when in Italian neighborhoods in New York and Greek neighborhoods and Irish neighborhoods, gangs would take control of the neighborhoods and they would, take care of problems. You know what I mean? There was a lot of killing and a lot of beatings, but pay no attention to that. On the other hand, their failures could empower those fighting for the status quo or for more moderate change. You see the spin on that? On the other hand, their failures could empower those fighting for the status quo. The status quo is having a police force and having civil society, or for more moderate change, meaning the Washington Post advocates more radical change. And Robert Klemko, in the way he phrases this, the turn of phrase is very important. From, she says, what I hear from residents is that the police don't care. That's what she hears from residents. And they don't show respect. Like Vito Corleone, you come and you don't pay respect on the day of my daughter's wedding. And it's gangster thing. This is third world stuff. And they're limited in what they provide, said Ortega. If you're dealing with mental health issues, let's settle the cops with that. Or domestic issues, well, they do deal with that. People in jail, that's all they're trained for. Well, they're the police. They're not social workers, you see. How dumb are you people? Honestly, Ms. Ortega, take an IQ test. I think you might fail it. I want to see a public safety system that is controlled and driven by the community. Okay. See, now, here's the thing. She wanders the streets at night with groups of people, and she carries a Glock pistol. Okay? And the Washington Post is describing this as though this is a solution to the problem, and the problem is police. The mayor's office in Minneapolis said it is its goal to empower community groups, say this like these groups, to work with police, not apart from them. This month announced a partnership with several community patrol groups that will receive roughly $1 million in funding to cover large sections of the city should the Eric Chauvin trial verdict elicit a violent response, which is pretty much guaranteed to do no matter what. Ortega's group is small in comparison with seven other organizations and is not included in the project that the mayor is funding. The creepy, ridiculous mayor, Jacob Fry, said he hopes the group can supplement law enforcement efforts to quell riots. These are the people that are going to be rioting for the most part. Now, I want to keep it out of your neighborhood, of course, but don't worry about that. So it's the kind of work, the protection, they're talking about this like it's a legitimate protection for us. This is not really like the guardian angels riding subways of 30 years ago in Curtis Sliwa and all that good stuff. But the day after the first night of rioting, Ortega and other community leaders, she's a community leader, called a meeting in the neighborhood park. They stood in a circle of about 40 men, women, and teenagers, as they'd done numerous times before. It's like Loya Jirga in Afghanistan. Numerous times before to discuss community issues, but this time was different. Gang leaders were invited. Rival gang factions had made Little Earth, that's the neighborhood, one of the most dangerous neighborhoods in Minneapolis. But a bigger threat was emerging that night in May. Rioting threatened to touch homes and destroy community lifelines, including the nearest grocery store. Ortega wanted to organize a community patrol, multiple gangs, that she wanted assurances that there would be no gang violence with the danger of violence from outside looming. The gang leaders each wanted a ceasefire from the other side, Ortega said. They wanted to know that we were all in this together. Now, this is the present. This is really like a post-apocalyptic America. This is The Purge, the movie that she's talking about where everybody can kill everybody for one day a year. And reading through this, she's wandering the street with a big black scary dog. She's got a Glock pistol on her belt. And the Washington Post is selling this like this is a good idea, like this is a positive alternative to having a police force because the police are so bad. Now, the Washington Post themselves maintain a website that I've pointed to several times recently. And the website makes it clear they keep a catalog of police-involved shootings, fatal police-involved shootings across the United States. Never mind the fact that twice as many white people are shot and killed by the police. Never mind the fact that more white people who are unarmed are shot and killed by the police every year. Never mind that more people, there are more people literally, I checked it again last night at the National Weather Service, there are literally more people killed in lightning strikes in the United States of America every year than there are black people that are killed by the police while unarmed. It's actually not true of white people. There are fewer people killed in lightning strikes than there are white people killed by the police while unarmed. More unarmed white people are killed by the police than are killed in lightning strikes, but fewer black unarmed people are killed by the police than are killed in lightning strikes. So this is the Washington Post, and this is kind of their plan, from what I can tell, for America. And this is why it's hard to find ammo across the United States. Very hard. Give a gun store a call. Ask them for the ammo of your choice. And they're going to say, gee, I don't know. We don't really have any of that anymore. Because the Democrats, I've mentioned this before. I think the Democrats come into office and they buy lots of stock in Smith & Wesson and Ruger and Browning and all the firearms manufacturers. And then they come up with all this stuff and they get rich off of their stock in Winchester and other firearms companies. It's just amazing. So here it is. The one protector was shot and wounded in the buttocks in June by a man frustrated with roadblocks intended to disrupt drug trafficking. See, the neighborhood is rife with intersections and blocks that are filled with drug dealers. And a big part of the thing is, you know, they don't want the police there. So now they've armed themselves, and they're against guns. Let's not forget about this. But they have to because the police are so bad. And now they're trying to do, they got the gangs, they're enlisting the gangs, and they're dealing with the drug dealers, but the drug dealers are occasionally shooting them in the buttocks because barricades in the streets are blocking the traffic from coming through to buy drugs. So there you have it. This is America, what the Democrats are doing to America. Remarkable, remarkable stuff. What do communities do when the police retreat? The police didn't retreat. You drove the police out. And now you're kind of on your own, and you're living in a post-apocalyptic. Soon they're going to be without electricity, and they're going to be digging holes in their backyards as latrines. And the Washington Post will endorse it as environmentally sound. They'll say that they're composting. These people, man, oh, man, I'm telling you. All right, we're at 888-630-9625. Why don't you hear the hit piece on Tucker Carlson, the bully pundit? Hit piece number 20, approximately, in the Washington Post. I haven't actually counted, but they're going to keep coming, too. Their political cartoon today is only one a day, is anti-Tucker Carlson. They really got, they're aroused about this. They are.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Yeah, this is a great turn of events. My friend Seton points out correctly, you know, these gangs running the streets, they're creating like no-go zones, like certain Muslim areas in Europe and France and Paris and beyond, where the police and fire can't go, and they create their own local police forces and stuff. And then the law enforcement doesn't go in because they don't have the support of the Democrats that run the city. And Seton points out that's exactly why the Proud Boys were created, why the group was created, because people could not walk down their own streets, didn't have police protection anymore, and entire neighborhoods are taken over by gangs. It's like a third world post-apocalyptic country. This is what the left delivers. They promise everything, but this is what they deliver, that and political prisoners and stuff. So there are no police to stop the mayhem, so gangs of residents stand up, and here is Ortega, belongs to one of the groups. By night, she walks the neighborhoods with the protectors, a Glock pistol on her hip. By day, she's running for the Minneapolis City Council as an advocate for radical police reform. See, I mean, this is, the left has really sunk their teeth into America, and they're sucking the lifeblood out of the country and the culture and out of civilization, and they're murdering civility at every turn, and the Washington Post is a part of that problem. And they're writing this as though it's an endorsement, creating no-go zones like the American Taliban, and armed with big dogs, and they've formed a coalition with the gangs, and the riots are coming, but they don't want the police there, and she's a radical. The Washington Post proudly says she's advocating a radical police reform. It's not police reform. It's just radicalism. She's an extremist and a radical. She's armed. She's on the street. She's got a big killer dog. She's part of gangs that have formed coalitions with gangs. And at some point, you know, American citizens who are decent people, who raise their children properly and want to live in a sane, a rational, safe society and send their children to schools that educate them and don't indoctrinate and brainwash them, people respond negatively. And that's why the Proud Boys were stood up there. They call themselves Western chauvinists. The Washington Post called them male chauvinists in one article because they use the words, but they don't know what they mean. It's remarkable stuff. And, you know, what happens is then other counter gangs stand up, and then you're living in Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, and then the left blames the police for the whole thing. See, that's how that works. I've seen this movie.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.